Football made simple. Become great at your craft by finding ways to make it simple for those around you. This is the Coaching 101 podcast hosted by Find a Way Productions with your co-host, Daniel Chamberlain and Kenny Simpson. What's up, coaches? This is the Coaching 101 podcast. I almost messed that up. I'm Daniel Chamberlain. I am here with Kenny Simpson. It is a beautiful Sunday. It's been a long drill weekend, Coach.
Yeah.
As most of you know, or probably all of you know, I'm in the National Guard here in Oklahoma. And so sometimes my weekends are spent in the woods. And I just joined a new unit, and we are apparently going to spend a lot of time in the woods. So very, very busy weekend. Luckily, I kind of get the Fridays off, which we worked a half a day this Friday for the guard, but I get Fridays and Mondays off. So tomorrow's my recoup day, which means I get to do all my house chores that I didn't get done this weekend.
Right. Yeah. So we were in Boston this weekend, so we flew in this morning, but I'm still kind of jet lagged, so I think we're both going to be – hopefully we'll make this a good episode.
For sure. Yeah, put a little stress on it. It's good. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit of spring install and 7-on-7, and we'll probably talk a little bit less here in the beginning, just kind of get into the nuts and bolts. You know, we really want to focus on there's a lot of new coaches, including me. So this episode is going to speak to me, which most of them really do anyway. But this episode is going to speak to me more than I care to admit, maybe even because I need to know, you know, going in, what do I want to do with my first spring install as the offensive coordinator? And then 7-on-7, you know, we got to figure out how much are we actually going to show and how much that playbook do we carry. So I'm super interested in getting into this and kind of hearing your thoughts and talking about what I've put together so far. So yeah, we will get into it. Before we do, Coach, do you want to tell us how we can simplify football for ourselves and for our staff? This episode is brought to you by Athletic Speed and Movement. At athleticspeedandmovement.com, we've taken Del Basquette's 45 years of speed and movement training and put it all in one place just for you. You can get the same training that NFL players have been getting for years, collegiate players have been getting for years, and now high schools across the nation are paying thousands of dollars to bring Del in to install his system, but we've got it online for you. It's time to help your team become faster, not just in the 40, not just their sprint speed, but between the tackles and their cuts while they're chasing down the quarterback. It's time for you to help them become faster everywhere. Jump over to athleticspeedmovement.com. There's an orange button there. Just click it. It says, get the keys to playing faster. You'll get the 3 core movement video from Dell. He's explaining the science behind it all for just the price of your email. Check it out, athleticspeedmovement.com. What's up, coaches? I want to talk to you for just a few moments about your program. You know, the longer I'm in this profession, the more I understand that efficiency is truly the name of the game. We're talking offense, defense, doesn't matter, right? Eventually, you're going to come down to checking out your efficiency. So I have to ask you, are you doing everything in your program the most efficient way, right? Are you fundraising the most efficient way? Are you representing your players and your program to the public in the best way? Are you planning to build the facilities the most efficient way? If you answered no to any of those, or really even if you answered yes to all of them, and you haven't contacted Mark Bridges at Ace Sports, you're missing a key step. So look, Mark and his team, you know, they are the go-to group for video board and scoreboard installations for your school. They're not just football either. Mark can help you mock up your newest video board for that new stadium, or maybe even your old stadium, right? That's where Mark and the guys come in. And we're not just buying a flashy thing, right? Yes, it's nice. It's pretty neat to have that big scoreboard, that big video board. But you're also, you know, you're investing back into that program. You're investing into that newest fundraiser. Sure, you can keep selling your discount cards, beef jerky, hosting pie auctions, whatever it is that you like to do. But let's just be honest with ourselves, guys. We're not making enough money for those big ticket items. For the big ticket items like turf and indoor facility, that's where you need a big ticket item fundraiser. That's what Ace Sports is offering you today. Guys, I've talked to Mark several times now, all right? And it always comes down to big school, small school. Right. Well, of course, the big schools can afford that new video board, but the small schools really can't. It's just not true anymore, man. Your school isn't too small, and I promise. Okay. 1A, 2A schools, it doesn't matter. Mark and the guys, they're helping them out. Contact Mark today at mark.bridges@acesports.com and let him come give you a quote. Let him show you and your administration the plan. Not really, it's the cheat code, right? Let him show you the cheat code that is fundraising with Ace Sports video boards. Tell him Daniel sent you.
Coach, do you want to communicate like a pro and experience the best sideline communication system on the market? Then let me introduce you to ProCom headsets. Procom is the most clear, durable, and reliable system on the market. From our noise-canceling technology to our coach-to-player communications featuring our patented loudmouth, Procom defeats the competition. Thousands of coaches have made the switch because they have seen, heard, and felt the difference. Let me show you how Procom headsets will make your game day communications a seamless and efficient process. Go to ProcomWelchman.com and reach out to me. That's ProcomWelchman.com.
Coaching 101 podcast is sponsored by Findaway Productions. Findaway Productions also sponsors FBCoachSimpson.com for all your coaching needs, with over 30 coaching materials, books, as well as 50 PowerPoints and videos and smaller materials and the free magazine headsets. Findaway Productions also sponsors OffensiveCoordinatorAcademy.com, all things offense, and DefensiveCoordinatorAcademy.com, all things defense.
All right. As always, you know, we really want you to reach out to those, you know, Zach and Ryan and Mark and those cats that are, you know, wanting to, they're partnering with us to kind of get their names out there. You know, Zach headsets all the way. That's the guy you want to go talk to. And especially that little loudmouth thing, I think they call it. You know, if you're a coordinator and you don't like being in the box because you can't talk to your kids, they've alleviated that, right? Especially as a DC, I know I wanted to call from the sidelines because I can talk to the guy that's maybe having his problems or whatever. They've alleviated that. So reach out to those guys, Mark and Zach, and use those products, man. They're things that Kenny uses. They're things that I plan to use in the future whenever those kind of decisions are mine to make, and probably some of those this year anyway. So coaches, we get into this. You know, the first question here is just, what are you planning to get installed for your early season install? And I kind of asked that question that way because not everybody gets spring, right? But from what I know, everyone gets a version of 7-on-7. And I know that coaches are smart and maybe they're taking tennis balls out to have practice with, or, you know, just a helmetless pad, you know, no pads, no footballs. We're going to run some drills. So we're still getting that install, whether you have spring ball or not. But whenever your early season install is, what's your plan for that? How much are you planning to get installed?
Well, we're a little bit different. I mean, you know that we have our own system. So I think that gives us a giant advantage over guys that are maybe new, like you're coming into a new situation, or guys that maybe transitioning offenses. I know sometimes guys like to go from one to the other. So we have a little bit of an advantage. So kind of knowing that up front helps. So I'll try to speak to both sides of, hey, here's what we would do if we were new, and what we would do if we're just installing as we are. So the first thing we're going to look at is, you know, what are our core plays going to be? You know, what are our core base concepts going to be? You know, and I think that you're going to look at, there's kind of elements offensively. I'm going to talk offense, and then you can flip the same thing over to defense because I think it's similar ideas here. But,
yes,
you know, what are we going to live in the run game on offense? What are we going to live in the play action, RPO, screen game that run game sets up? You know, what are our base concepts going to be? And then what are we going to live in the passing concept? And to me, I think you need to limit that. You don't need to have 3,000 things. It needs to probably be manageable. These are what we're going to major in. So you can have other runs. You know, we've talked on here before with, you know, Chip came on and talked about running duo. And there's been years we've run duo as kind of a change up to our run game. But we never majored in it. Same thing like in the passing game. There are certain concepts, if you're going to run, you better major in those, like mesh. You know, that kind of stuff is expensive and it takes time. For me, buck sweep kind of is that play. So we're going to put this stuff into buckets of, hey, here's our run game. Here's our screen game. Here's our RPO game, play action game, all the stuff that comes off the run game. Here's our drop back game. And then we're going to look at if we're going to run rollout or whatever we're going to do. You know, these are the buckets we're going to do. Then we're going to look at all the formations we want to run. You know, how are we going to run our formations? And again, we're very tag heavy. So for me, a lot of times it's working with one or two kids. So like we may work all of our A tag formations day one. You know, we're going to get into our base set, and then we're going to only work with words that move our A. You know, for us, there's a couple words that move them, you know, to the tight end wing side, or can move them in motion, or can, kind of do different things with him. And then day two, we may look at moving our next player, our wing, how we're going to move our H-back kid, how we're going to move him, or our running back, or if we're going to move our receiver or tight end or whatever it's going to be. You kind of put that into buckets. You know, what moves these kids, or are we going to do personnel groupings? Are we going to have kind of a goal line package? We're going to have a spread package. And so you got to lay all that stuff out now. Whether you're going to have spring, summer, or fall install, because each state's different, you need to have the plan of here's our priority and what we're going to live in, and then here's our extras. And then make sure you're budgeting accordingly on your time. Because here's what a lot of coaches will do, is we'll spend a crazy amount of time on scheme and not nearly enough time on fundamentals. And so that's where it gets really tough on a coach. You can get all the plays in that you want. If you haven't worked on, you know, fundamental things in football, like stance, how to block, how to get off the press if you're a receiver, how to catch the ball, you know, how to run certain routes or work your footwork at quarterback. So that's a very delicate balance. And for me in the spring, we're much more heavy on scheme. We use our summer to kind of clean up our fundamentals. So we try to get a lot of our scheme stuff in the spring early, because a lot of times those practices are non-padded. So we're going to do a lot of schematic type things, knowing that, hey, we are going to have a dedicated period of time here in the summer where we are going to work our fundamentals. And then in August, we're going to go back to kind of the mix, or we're going to mix them together. So but you need to figure out what works for you, because we have different timing that allows us to do that stuff. If you flip this over to defense, it's the same idea. I mean, the same deal. What's our base coverage going to be? What are our base fronts going to be? And then how much time do we want to dedicate to the fundamentals of defense? Like, we got to be able to tackle. If you can't tackle, nothing else really matters. If you can't cover, nothing else really matters. So finding that balance is tough on those days. How much time are you going to get? You know, so Daniel, you're an OC. Your coach is probably going to tell you you have 50 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever that is. And then you've got to figure out what's most important. So I think it's really important to put it on paper and list. This is going to be our base run play, the number one run play we're going to do. That goes in day one, so we have more time to work on it. This will be our number one pass play. We think it's going to be, that goes in day one. And then a lot of times on that run game part, we're going to build in the play action, the screen, you know, RPO off of that run as we're building. So day one, we may run, like for us, we would run like buck sweep, probably one of the play actions off of buck sweep, one of the RPOs off of buck sweep, and a screen that we would run off of buck. Like, that's going to be our run section. And then our number one pass this last year was choice. So we would, that would be the pass concept we would work. And then we'd come back day two. You got to review it. You can't just kind of ignore it. But our next run play is X, and our next pass play is X. And so that's how we would go through it. I know there's a lot more questions you got coming up that we'll kind of walk through some more of this stuff. But main things I would say to guys that are listening, get it all down on paper, have a priority list of what you want, and then don't ignore the fundamentals. You know, I don't know when you're going to get those in, but you need some dedicated time to really work on blocking, catching, tackling, just the general things that football guys need to work on. Don't spend too much time on scheme that you neglect that stuff.
You know, it'll be very interesting for me this year, because I feel like as an OC, I need as many of my weapons put in as possible. And you've talked about this on it before, right? Put in everything and then trim the fat. What isn't working going into week one? Your true week one, you know, whatever, if it's week zero, one, whatever you're playing. You need to get familiar, at least that familiarization with everything. And then what are we good at right now? Let's go win a ball game with that. And then we can continue, you know, working the other things. Yeah. To where defensively, I wanted to be really good at base. I don't care if I had a single blitz put in week one. You know, in Oklahoma, we get three non-district games, and then we go into district play. And I know not everyone's like that.
I talked with Joe on, and you know, up there, they're playoff points from the beginning. So they're, every game is technically a district game for those guys. And I know that different states are different. So not that we waste those first three games, but we can use them tactically, right? We can put cupcakes or should win games there. We can put teams that we have no business playing there just to get a really solid, kind of that, you know, if practice is really hard then the game is easy idea, right? The Tom Brady method. We can go out and get very similar teams, or we need to see a spread team. So we can do so many things with that. But the biggest thing for me is you don't have to have everything installed on defense, because you can add to it over the next few weeks. Do I feel like an offense that's a little different? And I, you know, I'm still solidifying my spring plan, which we're, by the time this comes out, just over a month from our first install. So I will have all that ironed out and gone through it with the head coach and talked to the assistant coaches. And, you know, it's, we're in a different system because I'm bringing a system with me to run on offense, and I have to teach the head coach. I don't know any of the coaches I'm going to be working with.
Right.
They don't know my system. So, you know, I have to teach coaches before I could ever step foot on the field with the players. So it's even, you know, more of a limitation for us. We probably won't have all of our weapons installed, because we've just got so many steps to get there. So, you know, a lot of that, how much do you plan to get installed, I guess, is really situational, just like everything else in football. There's no concrete answer, right? It's what is your team ready for? Because the kids are going to get reps for you this year, probably got some reps last year, but they've definitely heard the terminology.
Well, you know, too, I mean, is, and I think our second question is going to kind of get into this. I don't go too far ahead, but how good of a teacher are you? How much of a system have you set up where concepts should build on each other? Like, it shouldn't be, we're going to run random pass play and a different random pass play and a different random pass play. You should be able to hopefully kind of teach the same way so that your kids are learning that stuff.
Absolutely. And so we'll kind of jump in the second question here, and I'll actually answer it first. What are you planning to get installed for? I'm sorry. That's the first one. How do you put it in, and how much do you put in, and how do you put it in? So, sorry guys, I'm tired. It's been a very long weekend. I couldn't read my own typing. I don't know. But you know, so I like the method you kind of mentioned there a minute ago, like install a run, a pass, and then, you know, that series run, pass, play action, maybe, a screen. I'm going to do something similar. We're going to be a little less play action heavy, more RPO. More, so I guess what I'm trying to say is I think I'm going to go with like two run plays and a pass play, one RPO off of it. And then we're going to try to do our play action just with our pass pro. So we'll just have different pass protections we call and move the back more of a token fake than an actual, hey, we're going to look like we're running ISO. No, we're going to make you read. And if you read running backs, you're going to have to keep your feet in concrete for a moment, right? And at our second day, we're going to do all the same plays, but we're going to start in a 2x2 formation day. And the second day will be a 3x1 formation day, because I want, personnel wise, I want kids to get comfortable with the pass concept at 2x2, and I want to get lots of reps. I want them to understand when we have numbers, what that does to the defense. And so on that second day, I want to install the 3x1 formations, and there are pass plays that work best out of 3x1, right? So that we won't install that till day two. And then the ones we're going to put on day one are going to work better out of our 2x2 stuff. But it doesn't mean we can't run it at 3x1, just like the run plays, right? We talked about Chip coming on and talking duo with us, right? You need at least a tight end to run duo, but it doesn't mean you can't run it out of tight end wing. It doesn't mean you can't just run it out of a condensed 2x2 set. You have to understand the principles of having that extra large surface over there to get all your double teams made up. So I think that's how we're going to do it. We're going to work it in pairs of twos, just run the same two run plays and pass and RPO in the series 2 days in a row and out of a 2x2 and a 3x1 formation day. And so we're going to see how that works. Probably do that 2 days, and then a big review day on Friday. And then next week, you come back with five more and we'll do two more days, get our third true install day. And then just review from there on out. And I think we're going to have a little spring game and go out and let the kids compete in front of the fans and have some fun. So, you know, our big culminating event for everything will be that last Friday. I think we get 10 days, if I'm not mistaken, in Oklahoma, get 10 spring ball days. So that's kind of our plan. That's kind of how I have it scheduled up, and pairing those, you talked about concepts building on each other. You know, obviously in the run game, you get zone and you get gap. Like, there's only so much you can do. And so gap will be a lot cheaper for us, because I don't care if you want to run buck or power or counter or pin and pull. It's all, if you can coach it right, in my mind, it's just kind of one set of rules, right? You're just gap down backer or gap down pull. I mean, there's not a lot. And then that you add duo, and Chip taught us, you know, you essentially have gap down double. And so you just start, like you said, buckets, right? We can put all these rules in the buckets. And so I think it'll make it pretty cheap for us to get that installed, and variations of the gap scheme we'll probably have to limit in the spring. But, you know, as we go through next season and fall install, maybe we add that power counter. Now we've got pin and pull, or power counter. Now we have a G sweep, of a buck sweep of some kind. So that's just kind of where my brain is at, and I know that that's first year OC trying to explain how he plans to install. It probably sounds crazy. There's probably some of you guys that are listening. They're like, ha, 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 you're going to fall on your face, but I'll definitely learn the lesson, and we'll figure it out as we go. But
no, I think that you hit on some things that we would do. I mean, you talk about building on concepts. You know, you talked about, like, all of our plays, we can run out of any formation we have. You know, and I think you kind of hit on that. It doesn't mean it's optimal. Like, obviously, certain plays work better out of certain looks. But so when we teach them, though, we're going to teach all the formations we've got in that day. So, like, if we're running buck and we've got these six formations in, we're going to run out of all six of them. And then the next day, we may be running, like, our version of belly, and now we have 12 formations we've put in. We're going to run out all 12 of them, or at least enough of them so the kids understand the concept of what we're trying to accomplish. But you did a good, I think you mentioned, you know, doing X amount of runs and passes a day. I think that, and then giving yourself 2 days to work them, I think that's probably smart. I mean, giving yourself more time. I've always erred when I'm wrong. I've always not given myself enough time. Like, I've always tried to put in too much too quickly. And I've kind of realize that's what I do. And so we probably go too fast. And then my mindset is we're going to come back later and clean up a lot of our issues. And so, and we've been pretty good about doing that. But I would just give that caveat to a lot of coaches is, you know, make sure that, hey, you're building on top of each other on concepts. Like, you know, all our RPOs translate to any run play. So if we put in an RPO, then we want to make sure we hit that RPO again the next day with a different run play so that our kids start to kind of, oh, this all goes together. Or if we're running whatever concept, I mentioned choice already, if we're running some flavor of choice, we want to make sure we show that out of three or four formations with some motions, with different kids catching the ball, you know, where our kids start to put together, oh, okay, so this is the concept and how we teach it. Now, we're able to do a lot of that because we only have three strong side runs. We have three quick side runs. We have probably two drop back passes. We have three rollouts, and then we have a play action off of our run game. I think we have three total. So that's all we have. Yeah. Because of that, then we can flavor it up with a lot of other things. A couple other caveats I'd give guys is, like, we will put in a day of the week during the spring where we're going to do all of our shifts and trades and movements. We usually will do that probably about three quarters of the way in. We'll teach it, but then we'll have a day where we say, hey guys, the first 10 plays, every single play we're shifting, just so that our kids learn how to do it. You know, and then we'll do the same thing during a game week. We'll have a period, a 5-minute period, where we say, whatever play we call here, we're shifting into it, so that our kids get used to that. So you're not having to feel like, you don't need to feel like you need to run every single play in your whole offense off of a shift. It's impossible to do. But you do enough of it where the kids learn the general idea so that they're able to get into that and make it happen. Or we may have a day in the spring where we're going to run a motion, probably the first 10 plays, probably a different kid each time as we've taught our motions. So we'll have a day we're putting in our motions. So our script that day will be 10 plays, all plays have a motion attached to them so that our kids learn the general concept. But I don't think you need to just overkill it. Like, I don't think you need to just kill it where it's everything's a motion and we only run jet today and we're going to get great at this. And that's good stuff to do. But I think the spring or early season is a lot more about getting it all in, get it all in, as long as you understand you got to come back later and clean it all up. Get it in, come back later and clean it up. Because what you don't want, Daniel, y'all got 10 days, you don't want to get to the end of the spring and you have half your playbook that you haven't even put in. You know, you got half your playbook that you haven't stuck in. Because here's the other thing I've learned. We think these are going to be our best plays. Like, we, you know, and I've coached long enough, we have a pretty good idea. But there's a lot of times that, man, one injury or one transfer or you misjudged something, and that's not your best play. It was a different play. So a lot of times getting it all in allows you to evaluate it, and so then you can kind of make adjustments as you go.
Awesome. So we don't want to not talk about 7-on-7. I know that not everyone likes 7-on-7. Every year around August 15th, we get the goal line stance of the century, and 7-on-7 doesn't prepare you for this. I mean, we know, right? But it is a tool. It's in the toolbox. And I think, to use a super military term here, it behooves you to use the weapon there that's at your feet. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't, right? You need to utilize this. It's free practice days at a minimum. Even if you hate it and you hate competition and you think the tournaments are super dumb, it's free competition. And you get your kids in condition without running gassers. Quarterbacks get throwing reps, which they can't do on your own football field for practice, at least not in Oklahoma. You can't have a football out. Receivers get routes. Your defense, it's just altogether, it's a fantastic tool if you don't even consider the competition, if you don't enter a single tournament. Now, I am a huge advocate of competing always. Every day's an interview. Always compete. And so with that mindset, this is just another opportunity to do it. I want my kids to go play basketball or baseball or track. Yes, because of all the other things. They get more drills. They get more coaching. But more than anything, you have to keep competing. Go out and win and lose and learn how to rebound from both of those. And that way, when we get back on Friday nights and the game's on the line, I'm not having to coach you how to go out and win a game. I'm going to have to some anyways. But hopefully you've not spent all year in the weight room not competing in anything, and now you forgot how to just go grit it out and win a game, right? So I think that's another use for 7-on-7. So my question to you, Coach, is what are your goals for 7-on-7? And although they may be different, I just want to know what Kenny Simpson's goals are. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of this question is, like, how much of your playbook do you take to those practices, those tournaments, whatever you're doing with 7-on-7?
Sure. So we'll do the first part, and you may have to remind me of the second part. If Coach Gould was on here, he'd have a lot of stories about me in 7-on-7, how frustrated I get out there at the tournament. So I'm probably that old guy you were talking about that I really don't like 7-on-7. I understand 100% what you're saying, and I can see the value. I get it. There's value in, you know, allowing your kids to get out and do things. In some states, that's all you have. Like, it's that or nothing. If that's the choice, that's a no-brainer. You play 7-on-7. Right. In Arkansas, we're allowed to go to team camp where pads come on. And in my mind, nothing takes the place of that. So since we're able to do that, we don't do a lot of 7-on-7 because I can just do team pass. Like, I run the camp. We're just going to do team pass. And then now it looks way more realistic than what it would look like in 7-on-7. So to your point, there's value in going to 7-on-7s. I think there's value for your quarterback. There's value if you're going to throw the ball at all. That's got to be a part of your offense for sure. And then even if you're not going to throw the ball, you're going to play teams that do. And so that's got to be a huge part of what you're doing defensively. I would put these caveats in, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit in your second question. Don't run something you're not going to run on Friday night to win a tournament in underwear football. Like, that's what 7-on-7 is. It's not real. Like, if you're playing that and you're a girl with flags on, that's real. You know, or if you're an old man like me with flags on, it's real. If you're doing 7-on-7 to help you prepare for a Friday night game, then do it for what you're trying to do it for. Like, show up and run your stuff. If you're a wing T team, run waggle. Like, that's what you're going to run. So work that. If you're a quarters team or a cover two read team, run that. I know they're going to throw the check down to the running back where the center would be in a real game. I get it. Still run your defense. I know they're going to run quads over and crazy stuff that they're probably not going to run in a game. That's fine. Run what you would check to in a real Friday night game. When you get to the goal line, that's when I think 7-on-7 becomes a little more realistic, is when you get down the goal line, because most teams around then, they are going to run man. So what are you going to do to beat man? How is your defense going to handle that? Are you going to try to play man or tight zone? What are you going to do there? So that situational part of the game, I think, becomes really big. You know, and when it's 3rd and 12, that's a real situation. You know, your DBs need to know how to sit on the sticks. So there are some real things you can do there within the realm of what you do. So that would be my biggest caveats there. And the other part of your question was like, what do you take there? Well, we take our whole offense. Like, if we're going to run flood or choice, or we're going to run smash or snag or whatever it is, that's what we're going to run. Now, what I've done a lot of times at these tournaments or games is we will cherry pick one of our concepts and run it over and over and over with different formations, okay, with different motions, with different players. I think we went one entire game and we ran snag the entire game. That's all I let us run. And then the next game we ran our shallow concept, and that's all we ran the entire game. Now we showed formations, we motioned to it, we got in bunch, we ran out of, you know, tight trips, did a lot of stuff, but the idea was to drive home to our kids, we don't need a lot of stuff. We need to be good at what we do, and I'll manipulate the defense with formations. You just make your read. And then defensively, the same thing. Like, if you're going to be, if you know you're going into conference and all you're going to run is cover two, that's all you need to run at 7-on-7. But if you're going to try to mix and match coverages, that's the time to do it. That's the time to work your roll coverage, or if you're working spy or poach or trying to get man, whatever it is, that's your chance to do it. So the caveats I would give, play the players that are going to play, because here's what also frustrates me at 7-on-7. I'll give a couple stories and I'll be quiet here because I don't want to bash it, because I do think there's value. But we're in a tight end wing. So most people know we run the tight end wing set, and we're seeing man two, which means there was one time we played a game and there was 7 DBs on the field. This team brought 7 DBs out on the field, which good luck with that in a real game with me. And then they played no one from hash to hash because they were all just playing man zero on my kids out of an empty set. So we called quarterback draw, and I got us in trouble because that was what I would call in a game. But the point for me is, don't run something you're not going to run in a game. And then the same thing on offense. I've seen teams show up and they've got a whole different playbook. Like, they've got, these are our 7-on-7 plays. And that's not what you're running in a game. I just don't understand why you would even do that. I do want to mention something that Daniel said about competing, because I do think it matters. I do think when you go to 7-on-7, you can say everything I'm saying, and I do. And this is why Coach Gould has a lot of stories about me. The minute you're starting to play somebody else, you want to win. I want to win. Our kids want to win. And so all the stuff I just told you, you're going to be very tempted to not do. Like, we have an all-state unbelievable linebacker who's not very good in coverage. So he doesn't look great in 7-on-7. But if you have the ball in your hands, he will freaking kill you. And so that kid in 7-on-7, you got to let him practice, even though he's not good at that, because what you're tempted to do is take him out and put in the younger kid who's faster and a more athletic linebacker so you can win the game, you know. And so, but that's not the point of it. So just kind of be aware of that stuff as you're going.
Yeah. going back to how much your playbook to take, and you said, you know, this is a great opportunity if you're a multiple defense, you're going to run a ton of coverages, split field coverages, quarters, pattern matching, all that good stuff. And what I found is teams that do that, the same mistakes that they have on those nights, they're going to have on Friday nights. So defensively, especially, you need to pay attention to all of the errors you have and immediately start thinking of how you can fix it, because you're having these errors just on kids' confusion because there's no run pass read.
Right.
So they're not getting faked out. It's not like, oh, my post safety stayed down in the box because he read a down block by the in man on a lot, you know, the first uncovered lineman that he was reading. No, he didn't. So that just means he doesn't know where to go, which means you might need to think about trimming your playbook or figuring out a way to better coach it.
And I think the situations are big too. I think, like, because here's it, we're a cover two read team. So teams are going to run smash. Like, that's what I would run. That's what I'm going to, you know, I'm going to attack it the same way they would. Or teams are going to run what we call pyramid, like a dig post. Those are the plays you run to pick on kids. So you got to work with your kids on, okay, we're going to get roasted on that at least the first time if we didn't know it was coming, and that's a really good play against that defensive look. Okay, now we've seen it. So your corners, you go, okay, what route do we want to concede? The hitch route or the corner route? So you're able to kind of work with them on that situation of, yeah, well, I know my rule says come blow this up, but now I kind of know I need to help a little, play the string a little bit. Or my son is a safety. Do I want to drive hard on the dig, knowing that there's a post coming behind me? You know, no, we got to work that situation. Or I mentioned it earlier, like knowing where the sticks are, understanding where we're going to let them throw it underneath and then rally to tackle it. We're not going to bite on the short route and concede the intermediate out route or whatever it's going to be. So
right.
That stuff I think is important. And kind of to your point, Daniel, it's not just like, not just knowing the coverage, but it's also knowing what's potentially a weakness within the coverage. That's kind of the next level of teaching the kids.
Yep. I think, you know, this year my original plan was to go into 7-on-7 with my full passing playbook and just not tag anything. Just make the kids run the routes. Kind of what you said earlier, Kenny, about just taking one concept and just formationing it to death and only running that one. And that is a brilliant idea that I never would have dreamed about. So I'm probably going to put that in my little book and take that with me, because maybe that's something we practice this year. You know, I think we're going to spend every Wednesday night in June or July or something at a local, essentially, practice for 7-on-7.
Those are a lot better than tournaments.
Right. And so maybe that's what we do, right? Each night we just work one concept out of every formation we can conceive. I was going somewhere with this. I don't know.
I'm tired.
My brain. Yeah. Anyway, 7-on-7, it's there. Oh, I was talking about not tagging. So, you know, maybe we just don't tag any routes. We don't, maybe sometimes we don't run, you know, so many motions and stuff. We're just going out there and watching some 2x2 concepts work, 3x1 concepts work. So yeah, I think we're definitely going to try to mix it up. I'm not too worried about showing on film, because as a DC, I'm not putting on your 7-on-7 film and trying to game plan you. I'm just not. It's not that important. I'm going to stop the run and make you rely on the pass. And then I know that you're in the beginning of the season just like we are. So we're all going to be just about the same amount of buffed out all the errors, right? Like, it's going to be what it is, and we're just going to go play ball. But I'm not going to go watch what you did when there were no linemen on the field whatsoever and then expect to try to defend that on Friday night. So I look forward to it. Look forward to calling my first summer of 7-on-7 and having fun with it. That's another thing, is just making it fun for the kids too, right? Because I'll be at a small school this year where participation is going to be low. I mean, anytime I think a small school goes through a coaching change, you have that reservation by kids, like, man, I really liked coach, I don't know if I want to play this year. So, you know, we'll go out and have a blast at 7-on-7. I'm not there for a trophy. Let's go play, let's go throw the ball around, let's get better. So I think that'll be our overall approach. All right, man, I know we're both exhausted, so we'll make this one, it'll be a short episode, but that's okay. Let's get into our what not to do as a coach. So can you give us our lesson tonight, Kenny?
Sure. Yeah, so today's lesson on what not to do as a coach is think you have to teach certain plays very specifically. And I'll kind of elaborate on it a little bit more. I think it's much more important that you teach conceptually. You know, we wrote the book, I think it's behind me somewhere back there, that One Play Many Ways. Oh, there it is. One Play Many Ways is behind me, where we basically are teaching a concept to our kids. So a lot of times as coaches, we think we've got to put in 45 plays, when in reality, you can just put in 3 or 4 plays, teach the concept to your kids, and then they're able, like Daniel said, to use tags, motions, shifts, to make adjustments within the play. You give them a little bit of freedom within the play so that it's more of a concept. Think about, like, right now basketball season is wrapping up. Just watched the girls' championship game. You know, and when you watch basketball, they run what they call sets. So we're going to run this set where this person is going to dribble it. To the right, you have a screen, and off this screen, you have all of these different options you can do. And you got to read what you're getting to make a decision on that. Okay, football is not quite that level. However, I think the teams that are able to teach more that way are going to be way more successful. And in order to do that, you have to teach every kid the concept of your run and your pass game. But also, most basketball teams don't have 3,000 plays. They have about 7 sets they go to, and then they have little wrinkles they run off of those. And so that's, to me, I think the challenge you need to do, like Daniel said, if you're swimming right now and your playbook is big, how am I going to get all this stuff in? Try to trim down the plays and think of what concept you have, what major building piece you have that you can protect, tag it, make it just a little bit different. Because I think the best words in coaching and in teaching are, it's the same as blank with the exception of blank. If you're able to use that phrase, your kids are going to pick up whatever you're teaching way quicker. Instead of saying, we're going to run 32G, and now we're going to come back and run 34 ISO, and then we're going to run, and they're way different rules, and they're way different plays, and they're very rigid. There's no movement. I think that's, to me, if you're teaching that way, I think you're hurting yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, those young minds, they can be tricked so quickly into just, if one person is changing jobs and 10 of them are running the same play,
right?
It's just way easier than an offensive lineman who's now learning his 4th set of rules, but all you've done is change the bubble, or, you know what I mean? Like, I think about that all the time. Just gap scheme. Front side's always the same. You want to run power, counter, then you tie what you do, Kenny, with, you know, with buck and pin and pull. But really, the rules didn't change for anybody. It just depends on which way the ball's going. So, you know, it's so easy to just teach that as a concept, teach these rules, and then make it work. Make it fit what you're going to see with those rules. Awesome. Well, before we get out of here, one last time, we'll mention A Sports. You know, call Mark or email him. I think his email is what's in the ad. Shoot him an email, man. It's cheating on fundraising. Absolutely cheating. You know, I had a long talk with Ryan a few weeks ago, and he basically told me, look, man, we're there to get you back in the black. So you're going to pay for this board, whatever the price is at that time. And the quote comes around and he said, you know, within a year, a very high 90% of teams are in the black before they ever make a payment. So, you know, consider that if you're looking for a fundraising to really improve your situation, holler at those guys. And of course, you know, Zach over at Procom, let him help hook you up, get your headsets fixed, get them refreshed for this next season. Use them in some 7-on-7, maybe in some spring ball. You know, you got to get practice as a coach too. Coach, what are your, I know you got O-Line Academy coming out. And then we forgot to talk about your hat tonight. I'm sorry. Coachescap.com. You know, if you're looking for a cap, like Kenny always says, you don't have to buy his cap, but please take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Wear some sunscreen, wear some clothes that stop some future issues. But I know O-Line Academy is close, right?
Yeah, I think we've got guys recording pretty much all the time here. So that OL Academy, I'll have out probably the next week or so. Then we have a new book coming out. It's going to be 90 spread power formation. So I'm kind of in the same world. If you've got my other formation books, it's going to be a lot. So there's just some tight end wing for sure, but there's a lot of other stuff. We've got some 20 personnel stuff that we run, some unbalanced stuff that we run. So that's coming out probably in May. And then I'm almost done working with one of my coaches that he's way more thorough than me. So it means that we're waiting on him to kind of finish up a couple of things he's doing, and we will have a special teams workbook, which I think is going to be really good, because most guys that are going to be special teams coordinators probably don't even know they are right now. They're going to get told in July. So we want to have a material that's going to help them be ready for that.
For sure, for sure. Awesome. On social media, you can find me on Twitter/X at Coach Chambo OK. Also email me at ChamberlainFootballConsulting@gmail.com. I want to take this moment to mention your wife, actually. If anyone doesn't know, Miss Jamie does graphics for schools. So if your school is still in need of graphics, and her packages are different, and Kenny, I hope you can give her email, because I forgot to jot it down before we got started.
It's Jamie, J-A-M-E-Y, Simpson@gmail.com.
There you go.
Like Daniel mentioned, she does all kinds of stuff. So whatever you want, social media, she does book covers, obviously. She does whatever you might think you need, and she's really good at it.
There you go. So reach out to Jamie and let her help you look as good as possible this season. I know that I still, and I like to do the graphics for my own team, but I still see college level offer alerts and commitment. And they are, my 5-year-old is not even good on a computer yet, and he could do better than some of those. Yeah. So don't be that school that your kids don't even actually want you to celebrate them, because it looks terrible. Like, let a professional do it for you. Reach out to Jamie. And then, Coach, where can we find you at?
All things FB Coach Simpson. So fbcoachsimpson.com, at FB Coach Simpson. fbcoachsimpson@gmail. And don't forget, we have the new headsets out over at, and Daniel's doing an article series for us over at fbcoachsimpson.com/headsets. That's all free. So good material there.
A lot of stuff in there too. I like to go look at what the other guys are writing, and I always pick up something, some little nugget for the toolbox. Mm-hmm. And you never know when it might win you a game, right? That's the best part. We want to thank you for being a listener to the Coaching 101 podcast. We hope you'll join us next week as we continue to make the complex more simple. Please consider subscribing to the show so you'll always know when the new episodes are out. We'll leave you with this. It's hard to beat someone who never gives up. No matter the situation, find a way.